Welcome back to another episode of Hawk Off the Press. My name is Madison Ertzik. I am the Hawkeye football beat reporter for the Gazette. And today I'm joined by the women's basketball beat reporter for the Hawkeyes, as well as our preps reporter, Jeff Linder. Jeff, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. So normally you do the other podcast with the other preps reporters. So this one's fun to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. So first of all, welcome to Iowa. How do you like it so far?
It's been good. I've slowly gotten more and more adjusted to living in the Midwest. It was a very culture shock first couple weeks, just kind of getting used to everything, and feel like I'm starting to get settled now, which makes it even better. And from now we just get to get ready for crossover season that feels like is like right here. Like, I feel like we're starting crossover season at this point, and yeah. I'm not sure how we got here already.
Yeah. I was looking at the calendar over here just this morning, and at the bottom of it, Iowa women's basketball exhibition game, October 30th, I think. Gosh.
I know we're in October already. Like, what happened to time? Like, I feel like I just got here. Well, speaking of women's basketball, the biggest news that's come out of the Hawkeyes women's basketball realm in the last few days has been McKenna Volichko. Did I say that right?
Volichko, yeah.
Volichko, yes. McKenna Volichko, the number six recruit in the country for the senior class, just announced she's going to be heading to Iowa next year. Jeff, you've been covering her recruitment journey from basically the jump. And, you know, how confident were you that she was going to pick Iowa? Did you have a feeling that was where she was leaning at all?
I would say the last 2 weeks, it just seemed like all the trending was headed Iowa's direction. About a week ago, one of the assistant coaches put a tweet out with big googly eyes, and everybody was thinking, oh boy, it's done. And so, you know, of course I start crafting a story, but the official word didn't come out until yesterday at 10 o'clock our time. And, you know, I imagine that the Iowa staff knew for a few days that this was coming, but, nothing official broke until yesterday.
Yeah. And she had offers from USC, South Carolina, Ohio State, as well as Iowa. So a couple big names in women's basketball that were also vying for her. But for Coach Jan Jensen to get McKenna as early as she is in her tenure, what is, you know, kind of just looking at the trajectory of what that kind of a pickup can do.
It's massive. Especially if McKenna said during her press conference that her role now is to get a couple more recruits headed this way. There's a couple more that I was a finalist on, one from Kansas City, one from Johnston, Iowa. And boy, if they could get one or both of those, you know, if they get both, they've got to be a top five. You know, they've got to have a top five recruiting class in the country. And if they get one, they're probably top 10 or 12. So it's huge news that, you know, that Jan can land someone like that this early. And the highest recruit, I think, in Iowa history that's not named Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. And I think that's what really kind of captured a lot of people's attention is the fact that this is the biggest recruit to decide to come to Iowa since Caitlin Clark got here. And obviously every Iowa fan knows how important she was to the program.
Yeah. And now the question is, how far back does she come after a torn ACL?
Right. And that was what I was going to ask next is that, you know, she didn't play at all last season, got almost 1500 points in her career though, already.
I think she was hurt in January. And so I think she played like 10 games, and even without her, they still got to the California State Finals. So one of the best programs in the country, and she's the best player on one of the best programs in the country.
Mm-hmm. And her experience, you know, being able to wear a Team USA jersey at her age as well too, I'm certainly factors into her skill set as well. And I know that. Believe that you wrote in your story that she's be cleared for contact right around October. So pretty much any day now is what we're looking at.
She, Yeah, sounds like she's ahead of schedule and ready to go. And I'm sure she'll be playing basketball in their season opener.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you want to hear if you're an Iowa fan, but also absolutely. The Iowa coaching staff, knowing that your newest recruit is also, you know, going to be back for her senior year.
Right.
So I'm curious, you know, when you look at somebody like McKenna and her skill set, how do you see that blending into what Iowa already has right now?
Well, Iowa loses four seniors after this year. My assumption is that she'll probably play a three or a four. She plays a lot of post in high school. She's too athletic to be a back to the basket kid at this level. I think she was in high school because of necessity, but she runs the floor well. I think she's just a tremendous athlete. Again, depending on how far back she comes, and you know, I think we can assume that she'll make a full recovery or is in the midst of making a full recovery and is going to be a very good Division I basketball player.
Mm-hmm. And having the opportunity to go and talk to her in her press conference that she had yesterday, what could you kind of tell from her excitement level? Because it looked like, I mean, it looked like anybody that had an Iowa tie from like professionally in media, national, like George Kittle's wife made a video for her that went on social media yesterday. What have you kind of seen from just the reaction that she's had to, you know, fans' reactions to her commitment?
I'm sure that Hawkeye Nation, if that's the phrase you want to use, is just through the roof happy to be getting a player of this caliber. Like I said, if they could get a couple more of these recruits, is, you know, even after the Caitlin Clark era is over, is Iowa's best days yet to come? And I don't think we can definitively say no to that. I think, and maybe that's a stretch, but who knows? If they keep getting this kind of talent, they've got some really good sophomores, some really, really good freshmen, and some good veterans sprinkled in, a couple good transfers. The All Big Ten teams came out, and Iowa's not in the top five. And that's fair, but, you know, this could be another 20 to 25 win team this year with hopes for becoming more than that soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about this current team, because the preseason All Big Ten honors just arrived in our inboxes moments before we started recording today. And you mentioned Iowa's not in the top five, but what have you seen out of some of these current players and what they're able to bring to be able to potentially have, you know, a 2025 win season this year?
Well, they've got Hannah Stolke back, and she's terrific. She's an All Big Ten preseason player. They've got some good leadership coming back in kids like Kylie Fehrbach. I think Ava Hayden, the sophomore post from Oregon, is going to have a really, really big jump this year and is going to be she might be All Big Ten caliber by the time it's done. A couple transfers coming in, Elena Rodriguez and Chit-Chat Wright. I think both of them, some people think both of those girls are going to start this year. But, you know, there's only five starting positions, and, who knows? And that's the beauty of it. You don't know who the top five or top, I think we know who the top eight or nine are going to be, but, where are the minutes going to go? And, hopefully from their perspective, they can all stay healthy and gel together, and we'll see.
Yeah. And Iowa fans get their first look at this particular Hawkeye team in the Hoops from Downtown event that's coming up in about 2 weeks now. It's October 17th is when it is. Men's and women's are getting an opportunity to kind of show up a little bit. And then also there's the exhibition that you and I were talking mm-hmm. about at the end of this month. So that's against Ashland. Do you expect that to be how we're going to find out where those minutes are distributed, or do you think we're going to end up waiting until that Southern game?
I think it's going to be a work in progress. I don't think the rotation is going to be the same in November as it is the 1st of January once Big Ten, you know, really gets rolling. Everybody's going to get a chance to prove themselves. You do know that. And whether that's the top three or four players or the, you know, 10 to 15, everybody's going to get an opportunity, and, you know, they're going to have to produce or they're not going to have that opportunity for long.
Mm-hmm. And with this non-conference schedule, I know it still feels like half of these games are forever away, but yeah. We're in October now. We kind of have to start thinking about it. What have you made of this non-conference schedule this year? Is there anything that stands out to you about it?
It's the road part of this, the non-conference schedule, and the neutral site is very good. They play Connecticut at a neutral site. They play Baylor. They play Miami. Those are at neutral sites. Iowa State on the road is going to be a really tough challenge for them. The home games, you know, it's not a really sexy non-conference schedule. I think, you know, Drake might be the best, Drake or Fairfield might be the best home non-conference game. Big Ten wise, you know, at home, they've got Michigan, Michigan State at home, Ohio State's at home. Those will be good games, good competitive games. But you know, a lot of their really good road games are away. Maryland, USC, UCLA, those are away. So, but you know, the Big Ten's going to be deep again. Probably 10 to 12 teams will be in the NCAA tournament. So, it's going to be a good schedule for them.
Yeah. Well, it almost feels like a trade-off in the sense too, where there's not maybe as many flashy home non-conference right. games, but there are a couple Big Ten yeah. games that you see on the home slate yeah. that can kind of catch some people's eyes. Yeah. At least that's and how Michigan, you look Michigan, at it Michigan that
State,
way.
Michigan, Michigan State aren't going to drive the fans wild now, but I think both of those teams are going to be very, very good. And they play Nebraska home and away. That'll be a couple really good tests. You know, so if you're thinking drivable games, they go to Wisconsin, they go to Northwestern, Purdue, I think Purdue and Indiana are both away. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun home and away schedule for the conference. But I feel like when you play in the Big Ten or the SEC for women's basketball, you're going to get a pretty decent home slate for conference play.
Yeah,
And those are just kind of the two conferences I always think of with college basketball, especially yeah. on the women's side of things, with how much those two have evolved.
The unfortunate thing is with all these teams, 18 teams in the league, they only play Nebraska twice. So half of them, you know, you're not going to see here.
Right. Exactly. And that's the hard part about when you have those expansions is that there is that give and take side of it too.
Yeah.
But kind of looking a little bit back on that recruiting side of things, mm-hmm. McKenna's commitment comes right as in-season practices are starting. Like they had their first official practice of the season like a day or two before the commitment was official.
Yeah.
From your experience, how does a commitment like that right at the start of a preseason impact the team's excitement and energy kind of building up to those moments?
Well, I think it's got to give them a lot of excitement, but – you know, remember she's not going to play with them this year. So,
right.
Their focus needs to be on, Southern University right now and doing what they need to do to be a factor come March. It's what McKenna Velichko gave Iowa today or yesterday was a lot of buzz, a lot of positive excitement, but, you know, as far as what happens this season, that's up to the kids they've got right now.
Mm-hmm. Does that make it hard sometimes in your experience from kind of how people manage, you know, the buzz and excitement of a commitment like that versus reminding themselves that no, there is still like a year before she'll actually yeah. set foot on campus?
No, I think people are realistic. I think the players are, you know, they know what they've got in their, you know, what they like to call their circle. And in their locker room, and whenever they get McKenna Velichko and whoever else comes with her, they've got enough in their locker room to be a good, solid team this year.
Yeah. And then not only did McKenna announce her commitment to Iowa yesterday, but it was also announced that you reported as well, yeah. third straight season that Iowa has sold out its season tickets. And I mean, the homestand streak for sellouts is impeccable. It's one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is just me being new to the area, but that doesn't feel like that happens on the same day coincidentally.
Well, they were getting close to that anyway. And in this case, it might be a coincidence, maybe not, but like I said yesterday, this, has Iowa ever had a better October day women's basketball wise in history other than the crossover at Kinnick 2 years ago? Maybe not. They got a lot of good news yesterday, and I'm excited for you to go to a women's basketball game at Carver, just so you can, against a good team, just so you can see what that's like, the buzz, the energy, the excitement, the noise in that place. I think it's gonna knock your socks off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. I mean, I've had the pleasure of seeing South Carolina's mm-hmm. women's basketball environment and what that looks like. I've had the pleasure of seeing Syracuse's women's basketball, James Madison, a bunch of different schools. But when you have one that's got, especially the more recent history that Iowa's really garnered, I think that's probably what I'm most excited for, is just to see fans that are so eager because this is such a new interest for them.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the programs I've been to before, it has not been the case. They've been fans for a long, long time.
It wasn't that long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe five. Well, it was longer ago than that, they had curtains for the Iowa women's basketball games at Carver. And the curtains were down for on one side, just because they drew 8,000 instead of 15. So it wasn't that, I mean, they've always drawn well, but now it's just off the charts. Well,
yeah. And that's gotta be exciting. You had the opportunity earlier today, the Iowa Ideas event has been going on through the Gazette the last couple of days. You actually were just doing a group talking about the impact of women's sports in Iowa athletics. So I'm sure you've seen that impact as well in the women's basketball side of things, not just not just with them, but across the board with a lot of Iowa's women's athletics too.
Yeah. And, like what we talked about on that is Iowa's always been ahead of the curve in women's and high school girls sports. Iowa has its own girls athletic union, which no other state has. The Boys and Girls Athletic Associations are separate from each other. And I think that really enables Iowa high school girls to be celebrated a lot more than most states. They're certainly not second-class citizens. Iowa's been playing high school girls basketball since 1920. And, most other states didn't get started until Title IX in 1972. So it's a special place to be. And I've said many, many times, Iowa high school girls, how lucky are you to be where you're at?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And with, part of the development of Iowa's women's basketball program reaching so many new heights, the program did announce that they have a new assistant coach this year with Jasmine Walker. Mm-hmm. That was announced back in June. Yeah. And how is she going to help play a role in this coaching staff, especially while Coach Jensen is still very much kind of solidifying her identity in this era of Iowa women's basketball?
They've actually got two. They've got Lysandra Barrett as well, two new assistant coaches. Time will tell. I'm sure they're both going to be very instrumental in recruiting. It's just a new energy and young energy, and I think they're just going to bring another dimension to the program.
Yeah, and it's the recruiting that you and I keep going back to, since that's really been the talk of the day for women's basketball. But the development side of it is so important as well. So when you've got a player like McKenna coming in, or who else in that 2026 class might come in, but you've got, as you mentioned earlier, a bunch of really solid sophomores, some really good freshmen coming in this year. Yeah. How is the developmental side of this team, maybe with the new assistant coaches coming in, or just how Jensen is developing this program, how is that going to play a picture?
I think that Iowa has traditionally been known as a team that recruits well, develops better than well. And especially the posts, Jan, when she was an assistant coach, was the head post coach, and you know, she had Megan Gustafson, and she's just developed so many really good posts. Now she's a head coach, so that's not really her role anymore. But I think they've been really good at getting good players and making them great when they come here. So if they're getting great players, you know, down the road, you know, who knows what the bar will be? Who knows what the ceiling will be?
Yeah. The trajectory just kind of goes just from like a standard incline to something maybe more exponential.
Yeah.
In that case. Well, Jeff, do you have any, I know that, you know, this has been such a whirlwind of women's basketball the last, you know, day and a half, but is there anything about the most recent news that maybe is taking you by surprise? You're usually pretty on top of all of this stuff. So what about this?
I was just surprised how well Archbishop Mitty High School was prepared for this. I mean, I'm sure they had all sorts of calls from the media, and that's, you know, that's not common. You know, it's usually as far as getting a hold of a recruit, a commit, usually finagle and get lucky and get a phone number and call. But, you know, boy, this was a full-fledged Zoom call. And, you know, maybe that's kind of the way the future's going with some of these blue chippers.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily a normal thing when a high school recruit has a press conference for their college commitment. Normally, it's a party to announce the commitment, not necessarily the full-blown backdrop and everything that McKenna had.
Yeah, and when Kia Stokes, I know this is before your time, she had a press conference to she was a Linmar girl that she had a press conference to say that she was going to go to UConn, and that was a big deal then, and that was local, so. You don't see it often, but, you know, with the way women's basketball is kind of exploding right now, maybe that's the way it's going to be. At least she didn't have a deal where she had four hats on the table and she had to pick which hat she was going to wear.
You know, kind of what people are maybe normally think of when they think of commitment announcements or something like that.
Yeah.
So, cause you've seen those, you've seen people do them like on social media,
right,
through like a TikTok or something like that. So for it to kind of be a little straight and narrow, I'm sure that was probably a little bit easier for you to kind of keep on top of.
Yeah, but it was really well done. And I think, I'm sure, I mean, she's a well-spoken kid. Obviously, she's a good athlete. Iowa fans are going to love her.
Yeah. Well, it's great to get your insight, Jeff. We appreciate all of your knowledge in this realm because you've been on top of it for many, many seasons now. So to have your voice involved in all this is great. If you like what you see, you can follow the podcast and follow my newsletter, Hawk Off the Press, both of the same name, at thegazette.com. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed, be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.